The first reading today, St. James tells us that we have to be doers of the word and not hearers only. It's an important thing for us because for those of us who've grown up listening to the scriptures being read to us week after week, year after year, we tend to sometimes allow things to go in one ear and out the other. We say things like, yeah, I've heard all that before. We see situations like these Catholic people who leave the church and go to some evangelical group, and all of a sudden they say, wow, all this that's in the Bible, I never knew that when I was Catholic. It's like, really? It's a Catholic book. How did you not know it? Well, they had heard it. Went in one ear and out the other. They had heard it all before, so they didn't need to hear it now. So we need to look at our own selves and ask that question. Are we really allowing the Word of God into our hearts? Or do we just let it go in one ear and out the other? Do we just ignore it because we want to live our pagan lives while hedging our bets? Because that's literally how some people have put it to me. Well, I'm really not sure, but just in case this is real, I want to make sure that I go to Mass just in case I'm going to have to stand in front of Jesus on the Day of Judgment. Guess what? There's not a just in case. It's reality. You will stand before the Lord one day for judgment. All of us will. There's no hedging the bets. And that's precisely the point that our Lord is making to us in the gospel. And we see his disciples, and you have to ask yourselves when they say, okay, wait a second, now you're not speaking in parables, so now we believe. Really? So all the things that Jesus spoke in parables that they didn't understand, now suddenly he's speaking clearly, so they believe that he knows everything and he came from God. Well, he does know everything and he came from God because he is God. And we all know that. We've all heard that 1,000 times. So ask yourself, did that just go in one ear and out the other? Or does it actually mean something? By mean something, I don't mean something about Jesus. I mean, does it mean something to you and me? Because that's what matters. If we're going to be people who act upon the Word of God, then we need to know the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God as it is written down for us. We need to know the Word of God, who is God, who became flesh, the one who in the gospel at the end of the Mass, we all genuflect at that point when we say the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's the one that we believe. But now again, look at what St. James is challenging us with. He tells us that we have looked carefully into the perfect law of liberty and remained in it. Well, have we? Look at what he goes on to say. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, not restraining his tongue but deceiving his own heart, that man's religion is in vain. We live in a society where the tongue does not stop. And in fact, we've gotten to the point where if we actually have to be by ourselves so we're not talking to anybody, we've got those stupid phones that we can put all kinds of stuff out. We're texting and we're putting out emails and we're doing whatever. Yeah, maybe your tongue isn't moving, but the thumbs are at that point and they're filling in for your tongue instead. And you can ask yourself, what kind of stuff is coming out? What am I saying? What am I writing? St. Paul said that we should say only the things that will edify people. The good things that people need to hear. Ask yourself again, does that sound like me? that I can control my tongue, that I say only the good things people need to hear, that I'm edifying to people. That's not the American way, sadly. And so it's a great challenge for us, because we want to be able to say that, yes, I believe everything that the church teaches. But do we live it? Are we hearers of the word only, but not doers of the word? We can take it another step further, because our Lord tells us in the gospel reading, the day will come when he says, I'm not telling you that I will pray for you, but God is going to answer you because he loves you. You can pray to the Father who loves you. Do we believe that? All too many people have this idea that they've just separated themselves from God. They don't really believe that God loves them. They believe in God, but what do they believe about God? Sometimes we have this idea that God is just this mean, nasty guy who's up there just waiting to get even with us. Sometimes we look at him as a disciplinarian. Sometimes we look at him as someone who just doesn't seem to care about what's going on earth or in my own life. Sometimes we are terrified of God. It is true that God will discipline us because he loves us. We discipline our own children because we love them. At least I hope that's the reason why we discipline our children. Not because we're angry at them, not because they simply did something I didn't want them to do, but rather because we love them and because we're disciplining to be able to teach them, to call them to something higher, to help them to recognize the choice that they've made. In other words, we discipline them for their own good. That's what God does. He disciplines us for our good. But sometimes we don't recognize that. Sometimes we're getting angry at God because he allows all these bad things to happen. Do we look at it the other way and say what God is trying to do is make you a saint? Do we look at it and say what God is trying to do is to help me to be detached from all of this stuff? Whether it's the things or whether it's people's opinion or whatever it might be. Do we recognize that in those trials that God is actually helping us to grow in virtue more than we ever could if we didn't have the trials? In our humanness, we don't usually see it that way. After it's over and we can look back at it, then we can say, oh, look at the good that God brought out of that. And then if you're like me, you'd say, you know what, if I would have cooperated, it actually would have been a whole lot better. Think of the good that would have come out of this if I actually would have cooperated with the Lord. Once again, we give him lip service, but our hearts sometimes are far from him. That's what the Lord is looking for. He tells us that the Father loves you because you love me and because you believe that I came from God. Well, there's a huge difference between believing that I came from God and loving me. The devil believes that Jesus came from God, and the devil believes that he is God. The devil doesn't love him. So we need to believe that he came from God, because he did. But Jesus says the Father loves you because you love me. That again is then the question we need to ask, do I? Because to love someone is not an intellectual thing, that's an act of the will. To love him means we need to get it out of the head and down into the heart. To love him means that we are going to serve him. To love him means that we want what is best for him. Now that again sounds a little odd to us. What do you mean, what's best for him? Because that's our disposition. He loves us, which means he only wants what's the best for us. We want what's best for him. And amazingly, what is best for him, since he gets absolutely nothing out of anything that we do, what's best for him is if we will live our lives according to his word. Sort of like my mother, when we would ask her, what do you want for your birthday, or what do you want for Mother's Day, or whatever, or Christmas, she would always have the exact same answer. Every single time for years and years and years, the exact same answer. I just want good kids. Like, yeah, well, it's a whole lot easier to go to the store and buy something for you, Mom. And if we're going to be good kids, we actually have to change. We actually have to do something different. We actually have to do what you're asking us to do. Imagine that. Isn't that what God said? Don't be hearers of the word only, but doers of it. We need to let it in. We need to act on it. We need to make some changes. That's the challenge. And so we've heard this time after time after time. Don't let it go in one ear and out the other. Don't walk away saying, yeah, I guess that was interesting. Listen to what is being said. And ask yourself, what do I need to do to conform myself to what our Lord has taught? Because if I am going to believe him, and I am going to love him, what needs to change in my life so that I'm actually doing that? To believe in him, yeah, that's in the head. To believe everything the church teaches, that's in the head. To love him is not in the head. To love him is not simply to go through the motions. And you could say, yeah, but didn't he say, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments? That's exactly what he said. And what was his commandment? To love. Not just to go through the motions and do the things, to love him. To do the things for the right reason. Not just because they're the right thing to do, but for the right reason, out of love for God and love for neighbor. That's what he's asking of us. In fact, that's what he told us is going to define us. That's how people will know that we are his followers, by our love. Do people recognize that in us? Is that what they see? Is that what they hear when we open our mouths? That's what our Lord is challenging us with. This is not easy. It's relatively easy to believe everything that he said. It's easy to believe everything that the church teaches. It is very hard to put it into practice. But St. James says that if we don't, our religion is in vain. That's pretty strong. If anyone doesn't control his tongue, his religion is in vain. Wow. Think about that. We want to try to justify ourselves. We want to say that, oh, look at what I'm doing and all this stuff is so good. And then we go out and look at what we do. So we need to make sure that what we believe, what we say, what we do are in union with one another. That we not only believe the word, that we act upon it, that we let it into our hearts, and that we can accept the fullness of the truth, not just in our heads, but in our hearts. So for instance, again, do we truly love the Lord? Do we trust the Lord. These are some of the hardest things in our faith. If we believe that he's God, we believe that he knows everything, as his apostle said, we believe that he loves us, then why don't we trust him? Why don't we believe that he really loves us? And why don't we love him in return? These are the things that require something of us. That's what God is looking for, a change of heart, a change in the way that we live our lives, so that we are not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word.